Welcome to the Covert Swarm podcast. Stories, news, and opinions from the world of offensive cybersecurity delivered straight to your ears every month.
Hello, and welcome to the Covert Swarm podcast. This is episode 15, Stories from an Information Security Manager, with special guest, Frankie Gallup.
Hiya, it's great to be here. I am a cybersecurity consultant at Prevention. I am very, very interested in cybersecurity and think it's the most amazing role to be in at the moment. I started at a young age of 16, and throughout these years, it's changed so much in things that are more important than others, and the world is just changing as well. So it's a brilliant place to be. I'm now 21, so I've been in it for a few years now, coming to the end of my degree, graduating in July.
Fantastic. And what are you expecting in terms of the grade?
First, of course.
Oh, fantastic. And you absolutely deserve it, Frankie. That's awesome news. So you mentioned you got into this industry when you were sort of 16. What was the sort of seed that you know, made you take that leap into this fantastic industry?
Well, I think there was at the time a lot of discussion that there's not enough cybersecurity people in the field. And I've also found that there's so much growth and variety in the role. There's so many branches that can be involved in cybersecurity. As much as you could go to a networking event and speak to five people that are involved in cybersecurity, but can be doing absolutely completely different things, which is what I find quite exciting about it. I think that it's so essential in our lives today that it also plays that important role in the job. And anyone can have different types of work backgrounds, and it puts that advantage into the field. If you've done social media, you can have the advantage of cybersecurity of knowing how to be secure in that area. And it's a really, really amazing field to be in, I think.
Frankie, you mentioned that one of the things that inspired you to get into the cybersecurity industry was the lack, let's be frank, of diversity at the time when you were 16. How have you seen kind of diversity and inclusion as well change in this past few years? And tell us about some of the fantastic work that you personally and also Prevention are doing in this space to help raise awareness that this is a fantastic industry and increase and improve the level of diversity and inclusion we have in our specialisms and cybersecurity as a wider industry?
Yes, brilliant question. So with university, I've seen a lot of diversity, and that has grown a lot just in the small space of time that I've been in it, which is really great. Prevention find it important to get that diversity out there and to allow people to have the knowledge of what cybersecurity entails. We recently went to Bletchley Park to do some talks to some secondary school children and some primary school children. Just simple things of online security, making sure that their profiles are private and keep it simple like that, but also letting them know what roles are out there. We even had one person write on a post-it note that cybersecurity rules, which I felt was a massive achievement for us, especially with secondary school children that may not be interested in sitting in a lecture, but they said that it rules and it was the best lecture of the day. So I take that as a win.
Fantastic. And I've seen you speak, Frankie, and I can completely attest to the fantastic work that you and Prevention are doing in this area. Tell us a bit about Prevention and the work you do there, please, Frankie.
Yeah, so Prevention are mainly in the area of compliance and data security. One of the areas that I, in Prevention, find really important is some of the ISO standards. A lot of people, when I speak to them about them, they think it's really boring, but for me, it's important, and for me, I find it interesting. I like writing up all the documents, procedures, policies. People think I'm lying when I say this, but I absolutely do like it. And I think the ISO standards are so important for companies because it gives you that. It gives clients and customers that assurance that your systems are information security secure and that you have everything that you could possibly be in place for information security. It just allows customers to feel safe, and you can do tenders, and it shows that knowledge there as well. I think that's where we find important.
In effect, help organizations to comply with varying levels of information security standards, such as you mentioned ISO, so I guess things like 27001, as well as wider kind of information security risk management, 27005, etc. I would assume.
Yes.
Brilliant. So your role then, Frankie, is, you know, as per the title of the podcast, right, you are an information security manager and, you know, let's be frank, a very successful one. So you are managing many threats and helping support management of threats and risks across all manner of organizations. Across your kind of customer base and the role that you perform within those customers, but also the wider kind of industry, what are some of the most pressing issues that cybersecurity as an industry discipline faces today in your view as an InfoSec manager?
That's a very good question. So I think there definitely isn't one answer, as obviously cybersecurity covers so much and it always depends on what context it is. But I think throughout the years that I've done it, one issue that I found is the lack of training that that companies have done. If employees aren't aware on how to be secure or aware of risks that are out there, it becomes a risk then for the business. It's always been that human error is a huge factor within cybersecurity. And if we just did some more awareness training to employees, it would allow them to reduce that risk and that impact. I also think that there's a growing use of artificial intelligence at the moment in cyber attacks. I think these technologies are now allowing attackers to maybe automate these attacks, and the artificial intelligences are being able to learn from the previous attacks and then adapt to these new security measures, making them a lot harder to detect and making the attacks more effective. I think artificial intelligence is a very, very interesting topic at the moment in cybersecurity.
How have you seen then organizations you're working with manage the risk or potential risk associated with AI, both from their use of AI, but also from a cybersecurity kind of standpoint in the sense of how attacks are developing and improving? Like, what have you seen in the most recent months? You know, this is all very new in terms of the impact it's had with things like the OpenAI ChatGPT and you know, latest innovations in the GPT engine and other organizations such as Google with the Bard project and similar. What have you seen there in your experience?
I've seen in my experience that, say, we'll use ChatGPT for an example. I think when I've been to, say, networking events, that's an example that I can use, a lot of people are getting quite worried about it. And a lot of lectures that I've been to, people are saying, are they going to take my job? Is this going to do this? And the attacks. And I think it's really interesting because it is an issue in cybersecurity, but I also think it's solving cybersecurity issues as well. I think it's really, really interesting the fact that it's helping us but not helping us at the same time. In my opinion, I definitely think it's going to be growing in the future and it's going to be the way that we go forward.
Okay, fantastic. So that leads me into another question that I've just been thinking about. What are the biggest challenges in your role? You know, as an InfoSec manager, I can imagine there's some big challenges and issues you've had to overcome in the last few years, but also you face and you see. Can you talk us through some of them, how you've solved them, and just how you think about these challenges?
I think one of the challenges that I've had, especially with the fact I've been in it for a few years, is how much COVID has impacted information security, because we've had to be working from home for ages, and that also can impact cybersecurity if people are not doing the correct measures at home and the managers aren't able to see what's happening at home. That could also put a risk there. But I think for me, the challenge is a lot of people aren't coming out of work and are just working from home. So I'm not being able to go out as much and meet clients and customers. That's one of the challenges I've faced. I think also, maybe with this cost of living crisis, there some companies don't want a budget for cybersecurity. And I think that is also an issue. It's sometimes put to the side. And that is something that I've faced quite a bit in this role over the past few months. So I think that there's so many things that companies focus on within their budget. And I think cybersecurity falls to the side because there's not that much awareness out there of why you need it. I think people see posts that they need cybersecurity, but actually doing that first step of actually getting the first plan in is a scary thing for most companies. And putting that budget aside for it is also something scary to do. So I think that's the reason for it.
Sure. When you say scary, how do you mean? As in nervousness of the spend producing a return, or it'll never happen to us style mentality?
Yeah, I think that mentality is around a lot these days. I think people think that attacks only happen to massive companies and it's never going to happen to the small companies. But when you read statistics, it's unbelievable how much even a small company can get hacked and how much that affects the budget in the end. You may put a small amount towards cybersecurity, but if you don't and you get hacked, that's going to be a massive amount of money that you're going to have to pay to, if you get a ransomware attack, for example. Well, we don't want to pay for that, but it's a lot of expense when you do actually get hacked.
Sure, it's the brand reputational impact as well as everything else, yeah. Right? Over your career to date, Frankie, have you seen the landscape change? So we talked about very lightly AI and the impact, other big challenges you're seeing in terms of getting board buy-in, but what's changed in the last few years? Like what new things did we used to worry about that we don't worry about anymore? What new things are coming that we need to think about? You know, what in your view does that look like?
Yeah, I think one thing that's changed, there's quite a few things that's changed a lot. But for example, the password security, now you don't change your passwords, you have an expiry date as much. Back when I did it, it was all about changing your passwords as often as you can to make sure that you can keep up with security recommendations. But now it's recommended you don't do that because people are being forced to change their passwords. And instead of changing it to something different, they maybe add an exclamation mark or they add a one to it. And this just ends up making the password more insecure than what it started with. So that's definitely something that's changed recently, I think. And another thing that I've come across a lot more recently is the zero trust methodology. One of the biggest cyber trends at the moment, like we'll mention that maybe later, but it's about assuming that every user or device is a threat. And that's something that I have seen come up a lot frequently these days than when I first started.
From an information security manager, how are you thinking about zero trust in terms of how it reduces risk, but also how do you strike that balance between assuming everything is a threat and actually then still being able to function as an organization? Because there's many things that are clearly not threats for the organization to function.
Yes, I think it is a struggle for some organizations because if you're having to authenticate at every single barrier, there might be a few employees that feel that this is just too much. And that also then becomes a threat if the people are affected by it. But it's also about that strict authentication access control. If everything is assumed as a threat, then it reduces the likelihood of a threat getting through by a lot. So I do understand how it's difficult to implement this with different companies and understand that the people aspect of it is also difficult. What do you think?
I think it's a balance, right? I think you can have one mode, which is, you know, the full-blown zero trust, but you have to start from a point of understanding how the business works, operational procedures, yeah. Processes, have it all documented. And then with zero trust, it's you can't just, hey, we're zero trust now, right? That's the worst thing you can do. You have to start with a small environment where it's a zero trust architecture and then slowly build out. And there'll be some environments where it's just not going to work and others where you can kind of build it from the ground up again and migrate to a, you know, full-blown zero trust architecture over a period of time. It's a tricky one. And definitely a full topic probably for an hour on a future podcast.
What could be more effective at helping secure your organization than employing your worst nightmare to try and break in first? That's exactly what the team here at Cohort Swarm provides. Through a simple monthly subscription, we continuously deliver tailored cyber, social, and physical security attacks to organizations just like yours. Every month, we'll work with your team to uncover security vulnerabilities across your ever-changing attack surface that will lead to you being breached. We'll then raise the alarm and guide the remediation steps required to close the gaps before a genuine bad actor can exploit them. Constant security testing for your constantly changing attack surface.
If you were to go back and tell your former self, like, one piece of advice you would have given yourself when you started in this industry, what would it be? And then people listening who maybe are just starting out in this field, maybe they're in another specialism and they, you know, they're looking to be a information security manager, or maybe they're in a completely different domain outside of IT and cybersecurity, and they're looking to get into this industry. What's some of the advice you would give to someone starting out in this career?
That's a good question. I would recommend to do as many of the learning courses as possible. For example, LinkedIn Learning is one of them. If you get do that at the beginning of your field and just get in a concept of what cybersecurity is, and so there are so many different areas, so many different courses that you can look through. Even if it's just in your spare time, you can listen to podcasts, get that kind of information in. It really helps with the learning process. I think also a struggle is deciding on a path that you're going to be taking in cybersecurity. And sometimes these courses can help with that. For example, if you're listening to a course about cloud security and you're finding that super interesting, there are so many roles that you can find within cloud that might help you find that path as well. So if I was to recommend anything, I would recommend doing some maybe LinkedIn Learning courses, or there's so many online, or podcasts, that kind of stuff.
So get involved in the community, right? In summary, listen, learn, give back, attend events, etc. Listen to one of your upcoming talks, of course. Coming back then to managing today's threats, Frankie, what are some of the most important steps that organizations can take to protect from against cyber threats in your view?
I think that a really important step that organizations can take quite easily to protect against cyber threats is the awareness training. I think the human factor remains quite a significant vulnerability in cybersecurity, and employees often are compromising their security through simple actions of opening an email that is phishing. And the need for the ongoing security awareness training is needed, and these policies and procedures that people don't want to write, but it really does reduce the risk of the human error. I think doing simulated phishing training is also a large benefit to doing this. It allows employees to see if they'd be able to be a victim of phishing attacks. And sometimes you may do the training and say, oh, I wouldn't fall for that, I wouldn't do that. And then the second that an actual simulated phishing happens, they don't realize that they do it. Either they're too busy, they don't read it properly, or either it's just the phishing is that good that they don't notice it. So I think an important step to do would be the awareness training.
Okay, so when you say awareness training, is it awareness just of phishing, awareness of policies and procedures? How do you kind of recommend, what's an effective awareness training campaign or program for an organization?
Yeah, so I think it really is all of it. It's information security awareness training, talking about phishing, it's talking about malware, it's talking about different people and how they can help with information security. It's the start of covering all of it, I think. And simulated phishing is definitely one of the techniques that can be done for that.
As a feed in almost to the training. So
yeah.
Do you mean? Okay. One of the common ones, Frankie, there's always the latest and greatest tool. You know, there's a bit of a joke in the industry about, brands claiming to be the silver bullet to, you know, protect against all cyber attacks and all cyber threats. And all you need is this product. I have very strong opinions on this. You know, it's all part of a wider control set, right? There is no one-stop shop for anything, especially in cyber. But, like, what tools and technologies, really, in your experience, coming at it from an InfoSec manager perspective, are key to stay ahead of cyber threats?
I think it's also important, again, to note that there is no single tool or technology that can just provide all of this protection against cyber threats. I think instead, organizations should implement more of a comprehensive security strategy. So this could include a combination of technologies or tools. This could also include policies and procedures and having those regularly reviewed and updated. And that stays ahead of the evolving threats. I think if you were to name some good tools and technologies, multi-factor authentication for sure, as it obviously adds that extra layer of security to user accounts. Vulnerability scanning and assessment tools as well. that also identifies the vulnerabilities that you may have in your software, hardware, networks, all that sort of stuff, and provide that recommendation for remediation. So I think you can combine all these different strategies or how it suits your organization. If you just want to take a simple step of making that security strategy and having a few policies and procedures, that puts you one step forward to being on top of the cyber threats.
Okay, great advice. Thank you, Frankie. So I'm a CEO, a CISO, a CTO listening to this podcast, maybe. And I'm thinking, like, what's some advice that you would give me, Frankie, as a business, or maybe even a business owner, to strengthen my cyber security posture? Like, what's the one thing I could take away today and then implement tomorrow, which is going to raise the bar, improve the security posture of my organization?
My advice, as I mentioned earlier, would be to develop that comprehensive security strategy. If you start off with an information security policy, that is a great way to start to make sure that you cover these areas and putting in those procedures and technologies that we've mentioned to protect against the cyber threats. I think another way to start and to strengthen your security posture is to do regular risk assessments. I think these will identify all different areas in your business of where the vulnerabilities are or weaknesses in your security posture. And it just allows you to take those areas and take action on all of them to address them. Whether you accept the risk or you want to modify the risk, it shows that you're focusing on these risks and allowing you to remediate them.
And that's something that yourself, Frankie, and prevention can help organizations with, is that correct?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So I've developed with my CTO, CISO, CEO hat on again, I've developed my cybersecurity posture and strategy. I've implemented some policies and procedures. How do I take that to my fellow board members? Like, how do I get others around that table engaged in the criticality of cybersecurity and to start the conversation to really think about it?
Yeah, I think is seeing some of the statistics that are out there with cybersecurity. That's a brilliant way to bring it to the board. It's not a way of scaring people, but it's just showing how much is out there and how often it happens. Sometimes when you look at the cyber threat map or you look at the cyber attack map, you can see different attacks that are happening right this second. And it's unbelievable how much is going on without you noticing. So I think getting some of those statistics there and presenting that to the board would really show people how much is really out there and how much you could be a victim of a cyber attack.
Lead the conversation, drive the conversation with data, so to make data-driven decisions. No, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. I mean, all you've got to do is open your favorite news app and there's very regularly almost too many stories of organizations being held to ransom or breached or otherwise. In all sectors, right? This is a sector-specific issue.
Yeah.
There may be some sector-specific attacks, but it's definitely, you know, affecting all organizations.
And also GDPR as well, with the amount of fines that people get these days and seeing how much it costs to receive one of these fines. And it could be just that you don't have the right information security training in place, or it could be that you don't have those policies and procedures. So going to ICO websites and looking at GDPR implementation, seeing what you can do to take that step forward into it, that's also a good place to start.
So for those that are listening, not aware, tell us a bit about GDPR, what it is, why it's so important, Frankie, if you would.
The abbreviation is General Data Protection Regulation. It's the Data Protection Act that's been updated in 2018. It focuses on data subjects and their rights that they have. So making sure that you don't have their data for longer than needed, for example, or if someone asks that their data is to be deleted, you must do that. There are certain rights that they have that you have to oblige to, and it is the law in the UK. And it's a lot of money for the fines, and you can just put these simple procedures in place to help with that.
Okay, thank you. And since the UK, those are listening from the UK, we left the EU, how has GDPR been affected?
Good question. So I've received a lot of questions about that and how we still apply to GDPR, even though it is an EU regulation, and how it's affected UK. And we still do go to UK GDPR, I think it's called now. So we need to make sure that those data protection is in place, that privacy, that data subject rights and all that they have. So as much as we're not in the EU anymore, we go by the UK GDPR.
What else do you think we need to be thinking about? You know, we've got GDPR, we've got wider sort of cybersecurity strategy, looking at our policies and procedures, making sure we have some at least basic tooling in place, looking to aspire to and achieve ISO accreditations, for example, 27001 or similar. What else? Like, what's the future? We mentioned AI earlier. Like, can you see any future there of maybe obligations of organizations using AI and then bringing in, you know, an ISO? There might be an ISO standard for that of, you know, complying and management of AI in your business and the privacy and cyber obligations you may have. So talk us through that. And just if you were to crystal ball moment, like, what might we be talking about over the next few years that we're not today?
I think as much as we do discuss artificial intelligence today, I do think it is going to be the future of cybersecurity. I think its importance will grow a lot in the future. It's just, it can be used so much. It can be used to analyze large amounts of data and identify those patterns and anomalies that may indicate a security threat has happened. And it just allows companies to automate some of the security processes as well. So I definitely think that is going to be, if I had a crystal ball moment, it would be, I think artificial intelligence has a lot of potential in this industry and many industries as well. What do you think?
I think we are going to see regulation from a privacy, data security, cybersecurity, another security perspective around the use of AI. There's a lot of concern in the industry at the moment, just in all industries at the moment, around what you're submitting to AI engines further, kind of coming back in the engine's learning models in the future, especially if you're submitting your customer details, sensitive information. So really even now thinking about even a basic level of policy in your organization around embracing AI, I'm a strong believer that AI won't replace people, but it'll replace the people that don't use it. I think there's a big difference in subtlety there. It can help you in all manner of ways to be more efficient, you know, do things more quickly, consistency of outputs, gain access to information, you know, and so on and so forth. I mean, just look what it's doing in terms of AI-created imagery. It's just one use case, or AI-generated code as starting points. You know, it gets past writer's block, right? Which we all have, no matter, you know, you must have it when you're writing policies and procedures. I think coming back to the point, having a basic level, even a one pager of use of AI in your organization, how you think about privacy, how you think about data security. And I'm a strong advocate for it. It's just like anything that's not new in the grand scheme, but anything that's kind of hitting the industry this hard and people are using, we just need to put some level of business mitigation around it, some basic risk assessments as well. You know, we saw, it was a few weeks ago, the Italian government of you know, blocked use from of any of OpenAI, for example. Personal opinion, that's too extreme, you know, because of the reasons mentioned and the benefits it has. But, you know, every business needs to think about it.
I've seen a few concerns from education sides as well about the use of AI, because it can be used, if you asked it to write an essay on certain areas, it can do that for you. But then again, like we mentioned, it being an issue, it's also helps as well, because now they have AI detection using AI, which is, I find so fascinating that AI is detecting whether you've used AI.
Fantastic. So any closing thoughts, comments from you, Frankie, before we close?
I think that it's just really, really important to highlight data privacy, data security, and really make sure that you have policies and procedures in place that can help you. It's all about helping your organization, so to be on top of the evolving cyber threats.
Well, thank you, Frankie. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, LinkedIn, I suppose they could find you, Frankie Gallup, and do a website, if you'd share that, please.
Yep. So you've got www.prevention.co.uk And then my LinkedIn is Frankie Gallup.
Fantastic. So please reach out to Frankie with any questions and look at the great work that Prevention are doing in this space. Well, thank you again, Frankie. It's been fantastic to have you on today's podcast. And we'll sign off and say thank you and goodbye.
Thank you.
While you're still here, we'd love to tell you more about Covert Swarm. Our unique Red Team subscription service emulates genuine unlimited scope cyber attacks using our own swarm of ethical hackers. Want to test your exposure to social engineering attacks? No problem. Want to understand what a ransomware attack could do to your business? We'll make that happen. Are you kept awake at night by security risks in your tech stack? We'll find them before they do. We'll even cover your regulatory pen test reporting requirements. Everything Covert Swarm delivers flows through our Offensive Operations Center platform, allowing you to plan and see where our attacks are taking place, gain rapid insights into where your next breach point exists, and enables you to direct our swarm of ethical hackers to explore specific areas of your estate on demand. We even communicate with your team in real time via Slack. So ditch the limited scopes, infrequent testing, and over-restrictive rules of engagement. And subscribe to Covert Swarm today. Learn more at covertswarm.com. See you on the next episode.